We're doing a lot of testing. We're seeing 200 people in our emergency department. There's a lot going on in the clinics in the area. And the state is doing some things. So I'm going to just talk about that for a second, if it's okay with you. I'll have Dr. Monet talk more about Omicron and kind of what it is and how that clinical perspective that he provides is pertinent. First of all, I mentioned the hospital here, and other hospitals are doing it too, I'm sure, in their ERs, emergency departments. And at Nicholls State University, the Office of Public Health is there from 10 to 4 Monday through Friday at the public health units, a number of them, including St. Mary Parish Health Unit. I don't know the exact hours on that, but I know they're there on Fridays. And I think you can inquire and get those hours. If you're in HOMA, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday from 9 to 5 p.m. Moving on over to the river and so forth and reserve at the Regala Park from 9 to 5 on Wednesdays and 8 to 12 on Fridays. So that gives you a little idea of where the testing is occurring and how we're trying to help there ourselves. So with that concern about testing and Omicron, I thought the listening audience might be interested to hear Dr. Meunier's perspective on that.
Yeah, so it's really interesting how this thing has evolved. And what we know about Omicron is that, as I think most are aware, it's highly, highly contagious. But what we are seeing, and we've seen before in the experience from South Africa and to some degree England, is that we may not be seeing as severe an illness. And what we know is that this strain of the virus tends to replicate itself and understand that that's what viruses do. Viruses want to find a host and they want to reproduce. And in this case, it tends to do that in the upper respiratory tract as opposed to the lower respiratory tract, which is where the previous variants tended to reside. So in doing so, it's causing a different form of illness where we're seeing more outpatient type symptoms, people with nasal congestion and sore throats and things of that nature, and less of the severe cases of with lower respiratory tract infections and pneumonia and so forth. And that's what was reported out of South Africa. We cannot say that definitively here yet. In the coming weeks, hopefully we will be able to kind of replicate that information, but it is what we're seeing on the ground level right now, is that our patients, as Greg alluded to, tend to be less severely ill. They tend to get in and out of the hospital more quickly, and the vast majority are being treated at home. So that's the good news. I think further good news is that we're seeing some new treatment modalities kind of come into play, particularly for those people who are at high risk for complications. And that's the same group that we've talked about from the start of Omicron, people with comorbidities such as obesity and diabetes and kidney disease and so forth. And we're seeing different types of treatments evolve. They're not widely available yet, but they are coming into play. One is the newer generation monoclonal antibody called Sotrovimab, which should become more widely used in the coming weeks, which is effective against Omicron, where some of the older treatments like Regeneron are not. And then some of these medications, these pills that people are now reading about and hearing about, like the Pfizer drug, Paxlovid, those should become available, are more widely available in the coming weeks. And for those people who are at high risk for complications, it's certainly a welcome addition to how we can approach these patients.
How reactive is this strain to the COVID vaccines and the boosters?
So it's interesting. Another thing we know about Omicron is that part of the reason it was able to take over as it did, as far as it being the dominant strain, is its ability to evade the immunity we've built up as a population. So if you previously had COVID, you don't necessarily have protection against this strain. The monoclonal antibody Regeneron, if you've received that in the past, it does not appear to be effective against Omicron. The vaccine effectiveness has waned. If you've received, for instance, two shots of the mRNA vaccine, the effectiveness of that vaccine has dropped quite a bit, still about 35% to 40%. But if you get a booster shot, that immunity is nearly completely restored back into the levels of 75% or so in the studies that I've seen. So, that's why we're seeing this, urge to get the booster. Thankfully that right now it looks like the symptoms aren't as bad as what we've seen with other variants, but I think it's still important to get the booster to prevent any degree of illness. And you just never know in one individual how they're going to respond to getting this virus, and also just for the logistics, not having to miss work or school or so forth, just like you when you get a flu shot, to keep life on track as much as possible.
Now, of course, we've heard the shortage of tests around the country. Are the tests still widely available here in South Louisiana, especially in the Tri-Parish area?
That's a great question. I think it's somewhat unpredictable. At Thibodaux Regional, we've now tested almost 50,000 people, and others have done testing as well. The orders, this kind of goes back to early COVID sounding thing where you order something and it comes in when it wants to come in. Supply chain issue, I guess. But at this point in time, here we've been able to get the testing materials we need. I know some clinics have run out of those materials, and we operate a couple of urgent care clinics now. We've had to use the hospital sourcing to help those clinics get the tests. But that's kind of the status of it. The state seems to get all they want, and so I think those locations I mentioned earlier, you definitely can count on that being there, the hospitals there, but also in clinics and other areas that provide testing, it might be questionable. You might want to check on it before you go.
Sure. Now, Dr. Monnier, excuse me, I heard an interview with a physician, last week. He mentioned, we track the flu by not how many cases, but how many deaths and hospitalizations there are. Do you agree with that? Or have we reached the point of this pandemic to where instead of tracking the number of cases, you track more by the deaths or hospitalizations? It just struck me as very interesting.
It is interesting. It's, I think, really, the answer to that is we don't know for sure. There's definitely a step in that direction, right? We have a more contagious disease that seemingly is causing less severe illness in most. But we're still on the heels, and not even, I'm not saying that right, we're still deeply in a pandemic, and there's a lot of unknowns. And to say that definitively would be probably a little irresponsible, but as we learn more, maybe we do go into that type of epidemiologic reporting. But I don't think we have enough information to be there yet.
Okay, Mr. Stock, Dr. Monnier, any additional comments?
I just want to say that we've been able to continue to provide the care that's needed to other patients. We've done a huge amount of surgery in the last 60 days. We're testing people before they have surgical procedures, but we've been able to provide that. We opened our cancer centers, you probably know, and many other things that are outside of the conversation, in part at least, about Omicron and its impact. So we're doing our very best to serve the public. We thank you for allowing us to provide a brief update on Omicron and COVID and what's happening here. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you so much, Mr. Greg Stock, the CEO of Thibodaux Regional, and Dr. Monnier. Reach out to us anytime we can help.
Thanks. Sure. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.
Anytime. I'm Brady Borrell for KQKI 95.3 FM.